Isaiah chapter number 37. How many enjoyed the preaching we've been hearing around here these few days? It's wonderful to hear the Word of God expounded and preached. And not only are we to be hearers of the Word, but now become doers of the Word. And it's been a privilege to hear these brothers preach. And hearing Brother Edsel Young, first time I heard him was down at Jersey. I was probably about 10 years ago. I was about 11 or 12 years old. And I don't know if he'll remember preaching about the bread from heaven there at the Thanksgiving meeting at Jersey. And we've just been friends ever since, and appreciate their ministry. I want to build on what Brother Gonzalez was up here preaching about. And Isaiah here in the 37th chapter in the third verse. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. Hezekiah, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? Hezekiah said unto him, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. There's two things we see in this passage of Scripture. One is a carnal aspect, that the day in the social world is a day of trouble. But on top of that, the spiritual aspect, that the children are come to birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. Now I'll go over to chapter 38. Chapter 38 and verse number 9. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Boy, that's a good place for your sins to be, isn't it? Way back there. Verse 18. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, let's say it again. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me. I want to preach this evening on Hezekiah's day of triumph. Hezekiah's day of triumph. You may be seated. Hezekiah's day of great triumph. Hezekiah wakes up in the morning and he says, this day that the sun has risen upon for me is a day of trouble. I'll get into talking about that here in a minute. I want to ask you a question. What comes to your mind when you think of the word trouble? What comes to your mind? Whenever I was a little bit younger, me and my buddy Jacob, Jacob McCoy, we was best friends growing up, grew up together, and he was up at the house, and for those of you that know Jacob, he's a little bit bigger than the average bear, I guess you'd say. And so there at the back door of the house, we had French doors from the deck on the back door of the house, and there was a catch in that lock somehow that whenever I was locked out of the house, me and Jacob was this day. And my mom and dad never give me a key to the house. Come to think of it, I still don't think I have a key to the house. I think they're sending me a message on that. Anyways, we got locked out of the house one afternoon. And so you could always go back to those back French doors and grip that door handle tight and put your shoulder into it, and them doors would open. And so we just followed that plan to get in the house. Nobody was home. Me and Jacob walked back there. And I do what I always done, try to get that door open. It wouldn't open. And so I'm 6'4", 178 pounds. Jacob's probably 6'3", and double that weight. a little bit bigger than me. And so I said, Jacob, I can't get this door open. You're going to have to open it. So Jacob, you know, gets up there and puts his shoulder into that door and it don't open. Come on, Jacob. Push that door a little bit harder. It's got to open. So anyways, he gives it another go at it. And the doors fell down like the walls of Jericho. Now, about 4 minutes later, guess who comes pulling in the driveway? Mama and Daddy. And boy, when you think about trouble, I was into it that day. David, you're in big trouble. Jacob ran back home to his mama. That's a different story. What comes to your mind when you think of being in trouble? Brother Gonzalez read to us a scripture in Job. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. In Job 5 and 7 it said, yet man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. How many knows there's bigger trouble than being in trouble with your mama and daddy? That's being in trouble with God. In trouble with God. You may be in trouble at the job or in trouble at school, and that's pretty big trouble. You may have family trouble, and that's pretty bad trouble. But when it comes to being in trouble with God, boy, that's the biggest kind of trouble you can ever be in. What gets inside of a person that thinks they can do whatever they want to outside of the walls of the church? Come to church, put on their suit, comb their hair over, and think they're all right when the whole time they're sinning outside the walls of the church. You come to church, want to sing and shout over top of sin, you're in big trouble with God. You think that you can watch stuff all night long, something ungodly out of this world from the pits of hell itself, come to church, shout over top of it, and be all right? You're in big trouble with God. Think you can get by with wearing anything in this world? You're in big trouble with God. Not only is it, and I believe in a good standard. Some of you folks would even probably think I'm dogmatic on some issues. But even more than that, folks that even live like the world but yet have the dress right, everything is all in order. As Brother Lamb preached this morning, the closet's all in order. And then somebody comes to an altar. And can I tell you, if you would rather see a marriage fail, if you would rather see a marriage fail than to pray with them, you're in big trouble with God. If you would rather see a drug addict come into the service here this evening, or an alcoholic that can't break the bottle come down to an altar begging for God's help and the help of the saints, but you're too good to pray with them, you're in big trouble with God. Just hang on. You're in big time trouble with God. Can I tell you, Lot was somebody that got into trouble. Whenever he moved his family down into Sodom, the Bible calls him the righteous Lot. But he was so close to the things of the world and so close to all the wickedness that when the day came when God visited Lot for the last time and an angel visited Lot and told him, Lot, get your family out of Sodom, for I, the Lord, will destroy this city. His own children mocked their father. Big trouble, Lot. You're in trouble with God. Trouble. Trouble, trouble with God. Now, that clock's ticking and I'm very competent of the time. I'm very competent of that clock that's moving. These kings of Israel were pretty wealthy guys. David at one point had given an offering of $5 million to the temple building project. I don't know about you, but if I ever get privileged enough to pastor a church one day, that's a pretty good fellow to have come to church. Drop in $5 million in an offering pan. Praise God. And so
David, these kings were very wealthy people. David had all this great wealth, and then his son Solomon comes to power. And Solomon, the wisest fool, as one man called him, in all the Bible, had all these great riches. I was reading here recently, some years ago in Lexington, Kentucky, a horse was sold for the price tag of $28 million. The reason for it being so expensive was they traced its bloodline all the way back to one of the horses of Solomon's. The Queen of Sheba come to visit Solomon one day, and she's seen the beautiful house of Solomon. That porch that was a mile wide. She's seen the beautiful stables that Solomon kept his horses in. Even the hinges on the barn door was made out of gold. And when she came and saw all of it, she said, "The half has never yet been told." But can I preach to us and tell us somebody greater than Solomon stood on Solomon's own front porch one day and said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, Jesus Christ." Glory to God. He is here. Now, Solomon does just what politicians do best. Besides kissing babies, they raise taxes. I got a long way to drive here this evening. Bear with me. Solomon raises taxes. After his death, the kingdom divides the north and the south. And then these guys come to power. Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and then Ahaz comes to the throne. And it got so wicked in the days of Ahaz. It got so wicked that he shut down the church, stopped the preachers from preaching, and shut everything holy in the camp of Israel down. Ahaz, can I tell you, you're in big trouble with God. Now, Ahaz dies. He's off the scene. Hezekiah, his son, comes to the throne. And so Hezekiah, known as a great reformer, and as John G. Butler calls him, the king of survival. Hezekiah comes to power now. And he sees these little gods of Baal. He sees these graven images that his father has been worshiping. And Hezekiah, unlike his daddy, throws away those strange gods. He got rid of this god on Sunday afternoon. Home run. He got rid of that god. He got rid of this god on Sunday afternoon. Touchdown. You know that God that you've seen on a good sale at Best Buy a few weeks ago? That's about 57 inches of sin. And it keeps you out of the house of God on Sundays. I tell you, you're in big trouble with God. Somebody shout amen. Trouble, trouble. Hezekiah got rid of his father's gods. He kicked out all those graven images. Got rid of all of it. Can I tell you, as Brother Young was preaching so good about being sanctified this morning, when you are sanctified, when you are separated from everything of this world, God always stands for you. Those that are sanctified have power with God. Those that are set apart, I'm glad that I am His and He is mine. Glory to God. Hezekiah gets rid of all them gods of his daddy. Now, he sees great revival break out in his kingship. Sees great things that are beginning to happen. But he wakes up one day and gets a letter from Sennacherib and looks out over the walls of Jerusalem and sees 185,000 problems. Hey, that's a pretty big amount of problems if you ask me. That's a pretty major issue you got going on, Hezekiah. And he wakes up and says, "This day is a day full of trouble. Day full of trouble. Day full of trouble." How many knows in America this evening, this is a world that is full of trouble? It's a world full of trouble. In California last year, there was more divorces than there was marriages. This is a day that's full of trouble. This day in America, we've done aborted 2,000 babies. I tell you, this day is a day full of trouble. It's a day full of trouble. If 160 million so-called Bible-believing Americans, if they were really Bible-believing, I don't think that we would elect senators, representatives, or presidents that stand for homosexuality. I say, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble with God. This is a day full of trouble. 185,000 problems surround the city walls in Jerusalem. We got trouble today. We've got problem every way I look. Out this window, there they are. Out this window, there they are. We've got problems. Hezekiah prays to God. God, I need your help. God, I need your answer. God, I need you right now. Can I tell you, when you stand for God, God always stands for you. I don't know about the kind of God you have, but the kind of God I got is the same God Hezekiah has. Is the same God of Brother Tommy Tolliver. Is the same God of the Bethany Holiness Church. He's the kind of God that'll work in the middle of the night. While the sentries were at their post, while the generals were done barking their orders for the day, while the footmen were in their tents in the middle of the night, God sent an angel to take care of 185,000 problems. Here's what happened. The next day, boy, I went to bed last night. It was a day full of trouble. It was a sad day. It was a bad day for us. He gets up the next morning, looks out the window. Somebody has been working in the middle of the night. And this is what he said when he got everybody together. He said the words of Psalm 47 and 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. And shout, and shout, and shout, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for his mercy endureth forever.
There's not very many scriptures in the Bible that you can have an immediate response. You can immediately obey that chapter right there. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For God is gone up in the shout. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I tell the folks here at Bethany sometimes, you know, In Oklahoma, we call dancing shouting. You know, if somebody got happy and, you know, they moved around with their feet, we call that shouting. But really, shouting is something you do with your voice. Don't have anything to do with your feet. Now, I know that may mess up your theology, but that's really, really true. That's, you know, my dad, he loves to dance. He probably will, and I hope he does tonight. He probably will. It don't take too much to get him to feeling like it. Praise God. But we can all, even as crowded as we are tonight, we can all shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And lift up our voice like a trumpet. Hallelujah. Why? Because we have a God that knows where we are and what we're going through. There's something about it, even when we're going through the trials. Seen Brother Marty come in back there. So glad to see him. We've been praying for him. Right when you're in the midst of the trial, you can still shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope we're giving him the praise here.